Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, and my wife and I are both thrilled for today's show because we were so impressed with a gentleman who's an impresario, I guess you would say, of a great show called Hollywood Revisited. HollywoodRevisited.com is the site. He collects tremendous memorabilia, dresses, masterpiece collections, film costumes from classic Hollywood, when Hollywood was really so glamorous and stars were stars. Some of his stuff has been at the Hollywood Museum, which is one of our favorite places to visit. And he's had wardrobe items from Marilyn Monroe, Elizabeth Taylor, Julie Andrews, Gene Kelly, Betty Davis, Katharine Hepburn, Mae West, Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, Judy Garland. That's a partial list, just to name a few. Greg Schreiner is also president of the Marilyn Monroe Fan Club and is an expert on Marilyn Monroe. He's been interviewed for different books and documentaries on Marilyn. My wife and many of our listeners are huge Marilyn fans, and I'm sure that there'll be questions being sent in about Marilyn. To send in questions, you can send it to my email for the show. During the show, you could just send it in to richardrossilive@gmail.com, richardrossilive@gmail.com, or if you want to join the show live, there should be a number on your screen you see there, 347-637-2379, 347-637-2379, to join the show. So we'll be back in about 20 seconds, oh, maybe 30 seconds. We might, who knows, maybe we'll have some classic Hollywood ghosts identify our station and show at the point before we come back to Greg. So in about a half a minute, we'll be back with Greg Schreiner from Hollywood Revisited, and then the website is HollywoodRevisited.com. Thanks for tuning in to Richard Rossi Live, and all you Maryland and classic Hollywood fans, don't go anywhere, and let your friends know right now on your social media that to tune in live to the link. We'll be here talking to Greg Schreiner shortly.
Well, you know, when it comes to talk shows, my friend Harvey's all ears, especially when it comes to listening to Rich Rossi Live.
Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live. And my wife, Sherry, say hi to the people, Sherry. She's also here.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
And hopefully we got the stellar performer and the master of the show, Hollywood Revisited, live on line two. Are you with us, Greg?
I am indeed here with you, Richard.
Well, Sherry, wasn't that a great show and all the gowns he had?
I loved it.
And the music.
That was one of the best things that night. That was great, Greg.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. We loved performing it.
And now, by the way, all of you out there can keep up with Greg at HollywoodRevisited.com. The show is fantastic. I guess we could start with Marilyn and then maybe segue into the Hollywood Revisited show. Greg, you're president of
Sure.
Marilyn Monroe Fan Club, and you've been in a lot of documentaries. By the way, I was telling Greg, I can remember your name as Schreiner because my dear friend who was my attorney, Jim Ecker, used to entertain all the Shriners hospitals, dress up as a clown. He passed away on Christmas. But you say your name like the Shriner
exactly
charity.
The same. Yep. Different spelling, but the same pronunciation, exactly. And even my father was a Shriner, not only with my name, but he also became an actual Shriner, too, and did some of that same kind of charity work.
Wow, they might have been friends. So I imagine they could tease him as Shriner and the Shriner then, right?
Yeah, he was a double Shriner, so to speak, yeah.
Double Shriner. Well, Sherry, I don't know, maybe I should let you go first. My wife is just borderline obsessed with anything she can get her hands on about Marilyn, and I tend to be the cynic and not trust some of the stuff she reads, but she has all kind of theories. So this is your chance, Sherry, to ask the Marilyn expert whatever you want to ask.
Oh, my gosh. I feel so honored to be able to talk with you, Greg.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm delighted. I love talking
Marilyn. I was a high school girl of Marilyn Monroe. I think I was attracted to her because, well, she had the world in her, I mean, you know, her looks and everybody, but then she had the other side, and I felt very compassionate and sorry for her. I don't think she really knew what real love was, I think, but I have read, like, Well, I've watched documentaries. I'm sure some that you were in I did watch. I've read Marilyn and Me, Susan Strasberg, Marilyn Monroe, Donald Spado.
Oh, and by the way, Sherry, Greg worked with him on that book.
Oh.
Right. If you read it, you'll see that he has a paragraph talking about how much help I gave
him. I'll take a look at that again.
Yeah, he's a dear friend, actually.
Oh. We got it from the library, but I want to finish it. Marilyn Confidential. She had a maid that was telling, you know, because she'd live with Marilyn. And I want to finish it.
Lena Pepitone.
Yeah. And I know I'm reading Marilyn Files, Robert Slotzer. But I've watched things on TV, and I have been very interested in, of course, the night she died. I don't know. I'll tell you what I think, and I'll ask you. But I kind of go back and forth, but I kind of lead towards that she could have actually been murdered.
Well, she's really putting you on the spot here. So
she is indeed, and I get asked this question a lot. And I got to be honest with you, I never have an exact answer because I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everyone who was associated with that part of her life is now dead. So it's virtually impossible to say definitively, I think, how she did die. I do believe that she did not commit suicide. I think that at the very least it was an accidental overdose, because back then pills were given out as prescription pills, but they were very, very harsh pills, and it was very easy to overdose on something like that if you didn't watch yourself. So I think that's definitely an option. Certainly there are a lot of death theories. In addition, there's not a lot of proof, unfortunately, to back up all of them. I think Donald Spoto hits it on the nail, probably, but there are some other authors that have other theories, too. Maybe that's part of our fascination. We'll never know for sure how she did die.
Yeah, I wonder if that keeps some of the mystery alive, Greg and Sherry, because, you know, the same with Elvis. His last girlfriend's a friend of mine, Ginger Alden. She's been on the show, who found Elvis. But nevertheless, those theories of mystery persist. You know, are they alive? And they died so young. And I wonder if that helps keep the legend, you know, so mythic, you know?
I'm sure it adds to it. Marilyn has many other aspects, including, I think, her film career and all of her photos. There's a lot of things, I think, that keep her going beyond that, but certainly that's one of the aspects of her mysterious appeal to everyone today, even today.
Yeah, and, you know, one of my guilty pleasures, I'm a music teacher like you. Those of you listening, Greg's on the faculty at several of the local colleges in the area, and at the Santa Monica College, and there was another one I saw.
Cerritos College also.
Cerritos College, that was it. But one of my guitar students always brings the tabloids here, and you know, it brings them to me to read. And, you know, sure enough, in one of the brand-new tabloids, is a story about Christopher Lawford's death. I think he's Peter's son, and that he held this secret that his dad and the Kennedys, you know, murdered Marilyn. So, I mean, the story just keeps, you know, staying out there.
Well, yes, but nobody ever backs it up. So you have to take it all with a grain of salt.
You saw that, or maybe when they had it in 1992, where they had these different people that were still alive, that kind of about Marilyn. Did you see that on TV? I'm sure you did.
The documentary.
Oh, I think
yes,
she's
I
talking
did.
About the special that the guy that claimed he was married to her was involved with, and they had it like it was a trial. I'm trying to think who was the host of that.
It was in '92, I heard.
Is that the one with Montel Williams?
It might be. No, this was one. This was a Marilyn TV thing they did based on that book that's kind of spurious, the guy that claimed he was married to her, Robert.
Oh.
The,
okay, yeah.
Well, like...
Yeah, so they had, like, Carmen, the woman that claimed she was so close to Marilyn that we're not sure if she was.
No, I had some other people. I thought it had the guy that...
One of the cops that was there first.
And they were seeing how the way the glass broke was very... weird, how it had to be from coming from inside out, not going outside in. Did you see that?
I saw it. I'm not 100% convinced everything there was accurate. There's certainly many theories and a lot of mystery about her death beyond just what they mentioned. A lot of cover-up. And I suspect that might have been done to protect the Kennedys, possibly, because she did have a relationship in some respect with them. And back then, things were very different. Things got covered up a lot. It wasn't like today where everything is sort of instantly out in the media. It was a time of hiding what stars were really doing and keeping a different image about them.
I also, aside from that, I know that she isn't who what people think. I worked at a papyrus, and there was a book, and there were some quotes by her. They were really powerful. She didn't necessarily like how everybody always viewed her as some big sex symbol, and
absolutely,
yeah. She had a lot of depth to her, more than people know.
Very much. She was almost a feminist, you could say, before her time. She really fought for women's rights and the rights of black people, orphans. She had a lot of different aspects that were kind of ahead of her time. But that was Marilyn. I think another reason I adore her, she was such a brave person to do all that.
Well, you really dazzled us at the show with that that dress. And how did you get interested in Marilyn and start collecting around her? And then I guess we could also broaden that into your other larger collections.
Well, she actually is the reason I have the other collection. I fell in love with Marilyn as a child. My parents took me to see Some Like It Hot at a drive-in, and I just couldn't believe how incredible she was. So even as a child, I was collecting her, and I was a young boy when she died, and I just kept on collecting. There's something about her that caught my interest, so that when I moved to Los Angeles is when I decided to get really serious, and in 1982 formed the Marilyn Remembered Club with several other people, and it's still going strong today. We have thousands of members, and people still adore her. But because of my collecting, Marilyn was the first person I ever collected, and I started getting some of her dresses. However, as time went on, her value rose so high that I was not able to really purchase much anymore, but I still loved the idea, so I started collecting other stars, which is why I now have 500 costumes of all the great stars of Hollywood.
Wow. Well, that night you sure displayed it so well, some of your stuff. That was an amazing show. Both the musical part of it, you know, you play the piano, and you had these great singers that had great stage presence reenacting in those actual gowns. For those that weren't there at the awards show we saw, what are some of the pieces of your collection and some of the ones that you're kind of most happy about, you know, kind of your favorites?
Wow, that's sort of like asking someone who their favorite child is.
Yeah.
But I love them all. But I certainly, that night, I believe I showed a few of my really iconic ones. There was Ginger Rogers and Betty Davis and Liza Minnelli. We try to hit some of the really high points that night, but almost everything in my collection is fabulous. So if you ever get a chance to see the full-length show, one of them, you'll see even more of the fabulous treasures. So I collect by the name and also by the costume. I want them to be incredible costumes that'll visually look great on the stage, but at the same time also be incredible because of who wore them. And it's, for me, a way to bring back to life again that golden age of Hollywood, which, of course, we don't have anymore. We've lost that era. It's gone forever. So we try to recapture it a bit with the show. And it seems to work.
What do you think it is, Greg, that I know I'm going to sound like Riss sounding like an old fart here, but it seems like the stars of today just aren't like the stars that shone so bright in this classic era. I mean, was it the studio system? Was it that we're just so spoiled with, you know, 300 stations and the internet distracting us? I mean, it just seemed like there was a presence that was there with these iconic stars that you celebrate in Hollywood Revisited. I mean, why do you think that era is gone?
Well, it is because of the studio system. They groomed each of these people and made them a star. They kept them a star. They made sure that their images that went out were always a star image. They made them bigger than life. They were like not like real people. They were almost like heavenly objects because of the way they were presented. Today, it's the opposite. There is no studio system. Nobody's grooming anybody. You're independent. And people are very real now. In fact, almost too real at times. We find out too much about the ugly side of their life. And none of that happened back then. You only heard about how fabulous people were, and they were always appearing in public as very glamorous people. They were never seen as ordinary people for the most part.
Mm. And you have a bunch of full-length shows coming up. You'll be, is it next month in Florida at West Palm Beach, the Kravitz Center?
I will be, yes, actually at the Kravitz Center in West Palm Beach on the 17th, doing two shows. That day, it's a wonderful theater. If anyone's in that area would like to come, just check with the Kravitz. And then I'll be in Chicago coming up in March at the Dorothea Menker Theater, and that's going to be on the 23rd of March. So those are two. And then locally, I will be at the Thousand Oaks Performing Arts Center on the 27th of April. So some great chances if anybody wants to take advantage and come see a very unique, one-of-a-kind show.
Yeah, it was our favorite thing there, along with our friend Rebecca Holden that night. Well, we'll take a brief show identification and be back with any other questions with Greg Schreiner. Now, by the way, folks, his website, the Marilyn Monroe Fan Club, is MarilynRememberedFanClub.com and HollywoodRevisited.com, right?
No, it's MarilynRemembered.com.
MarilynRemembered.com. Okay,
mm-hmm.
MarilynRemembered.com and HollywoodRevisited.com. Okay, Greg, can we come back with you in just about 20 seconds?
I would love it.
Okay, great. We'll be right back with some further questions coming in for Greg Schreiner, one of the greatest shows I've seen recently, and I'm so happy there's several opportunities, Chicago, Florida, and us in Southern California to see the full show. We'll be right back with Greg in about 20 seconds.
Smoke signals. I wonder what they say.
Ah, me read him, Kemar Sami. Let's see, they say, don't forget to listen to Rich Rossi Live.
So that's it. Sounds like a wise thing to do. Quick, we better find ourselves a radio.
Hi-ho, Rich Rossi Live, and away!
Welcome back, and my wife Sherry's with us.
Hi.
And Sherry, I probably should give you another chance because you've been just so looking forward to Greg being here.
Hi, Greg.
Hi,
Sherry. A couple of things I wanted to say. I actually,
sure.
It was one New Year's Eve, and I was watching some kids, and then some friends wanted me to come over and go to a New Year's Eve party. And I said, no, I don't want to go. I wanted to watch about Marilyn Monroe. I'm serious.
I love that attitude.
Huh?
That's a great way to do it.
Then I wanted to say that my husband being a filmmaker, we were this one scene, and I was an extra in it. We were at a church in Brentwood, and we found out that actually there were times that Marilyn would walk over there and just pray by herself in that little church.
Oh yeah, and the pastor of that church was in the procession in the film of her funeral, kind of leading the procession. Village Church of Westwood, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 343 South Church Lane, and their minister, whose portrait is in their social room, place. The pastor at the time he passed, she would come in there. But anyways, online, one of the members was showing us him walking in this kind of funeral procession. So that was kind of cool. Yeah, Sherry, that's kind of cool. We were filming in there, scene, and then next thing you know, some more Marilyn history popped up.
And then I wanted to say another thing that I had heard. I don't know if it was there, but somewhere, but there's a song that Marilyn would sing to herself by herself a lot, and it was Jesus Loves Me, This I Know.
I hadn't heard that, but I wouldn't be surprised. She had a very interesting upbringing with a very strict religious family. They were Christian Scientists, actually.
Oh.
But then she also got interested in other faiths. She was Jewish, as you know, at the end of her life.
Mm-hmm.
Of Arthur Miller, she joined the Jewish faith. But I suspect in the long run, she ended up being Christian and certainly lived in Brentwood. So, that would have been very logical for her to go to that
yeah,
church.
Yeah, another interesting thing, Greg, I made a couple films about Amy Simple McPherson, this flamboyant female evangelist in Hollywood, and we discovered that as a child, Marilyn was baptized by her. So here's like these two very iconic women,
mm-hmm.
and just the thought of her baptizing Marilyn Monroe, I was like, whoa, you know, that was...
I know, Chris, who knew it was Marilyn Monroe back then, but her mother was very big on Amy, as were a lot of people, so she did... That is true. She did get baptized.
Yeah, we've spent quite a few years in my youth. I was very involved as a minister in those kind of Pentecostal circles, and a high percentage of the people in those circles, and maybe it's the belief in the demons all over the place and the, you know, the unseen world so much attracts certain types, but a lot. We ended up finding out a lot of people were drawn to this that had mental health issues. My own father was bipolar and in and out of mental hospitals, and so I identified with the fact as a child that we, you know, that I went through a parallel thing that she did with the mother's mental health issues. So she had quite a challenging upbringing, didn't she?
Very much so. Unfortunately, because her mother was actually mentally ill, she was fostered a lot by other people and also was in an orphanage for some time. So it wasn't a very supportive childhood, certainly. She had a lot of... anxiety about where she would be ending up because she never really had a permanent home. They weren't bad people, it's just she never felt permanent anywhere, which is, I think, must be devastating for a young child.
I just want to say a couple more. I like this quote I saw in the museum down in Hollywood. She said, "I think every little girl should be told she's pretty, even if she is not."
Mm-hmm.
And then Rich took me this past summer to where her the only house she really owned in Brentwood. I could see it through the fence.
I know, we all peek that way.
I totally could see it, but that was the house, I could tell.
It definitely, 12305 Fifth Helena Drive, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually got to go in it a couple times, which was really nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm jealous.
It was exciting.
Or similar, I wonder.
Yeah, and luckily now I own a lot of her furniture from that home, so it's
really?
Like I have sort of her home in my house now.
Oh, wow.
Which is exciting.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
So is HollywoodRevisited.com the best place to keep up with you? And is the show, you show your collection in the show a lot, and you also kind of do exhibits, I guess, in a sense as well, like the Hollywood Museum and...
Mm-hmm. I have on permanent display about 20 to 30 of my costumes all the time at the Hollywood Museum.
And that's the one on Highland, right?
Yes, Highland and Hollywood Boulevard. It's
okay,
the old
well, we've been to the Maryland
building.
Exhibit, so a lot of those things we saw, Sherry, were Greg's things.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
They were indeed.
Oh, wow. Thank you
but
so
that's,
much,
But that's
Greg.
On display, of course. It's not the same as the show where you get a more of a live action with the music and all of that, which is another aspect, of course.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. I'm going to have to go on, but thank you so much.
I'm going to stay with
Sherry,
you a little
I'm
bit
glad
longer,
you joined
Greg.
Us.
And thanks for joining us for a moment, Sherry. And some other questions are coming in for Greg
okay.
at richardrossilive@gmail.com. And also any of you that want to call in about classic Hollywood, feel free to call in. But we do have some coming in here. This is Bill up in Sacramento. Also a fan of Marilyn, a classic Hollywood, was just curious with all your exposure to classic Hollywood, what are a few of your favorite films, Greg?
Marilyn-wise or just generally?
He said Marilyn and generally.
Okay. Well, Marilyn-wise, I would say probably my very favorite Marilyn film is Prince and the Showgirl. I just love
it. Is that the one with Laurence
it.
Olivier?
Yes. I just
okay.
it's not one of her more well-known films, but it's one that I think she just shines so beautifully in. But I love all of them. Again, Some Like It Hot, certainly, 7 Year Itch, Gentlemen for Blondes, they're all incredible films. As far as outside of her films, I have a lot of favorites. I mean, there's so many great old classics. I always say you can't go wrong watching Turner Classic Movies on television because that's where a lot of the great films still exist, and you can be seen without commercial. It's a great way. Thank God for that channel.
I feel comforted, and it's just you know, a therapist friend of mine said it's a comforting, almost regressive tendency, and there's nothing wrong with it. But I feel almost so comforted to go back in that time and almost wish I could go back in time. I mean, if there was a time machine, I think I'd probably rather go into the past than the future, because it's like seeing old friends, and the world seems simpler in a way. It is kind of funny with a lot of the plot points with they have to find a payphone, and, you know, so half of these classic plots would be reduced. Today they'd be just texting somebody and the problem would be over. But
no, it isn't quite as glamorous, is it?
No. And we saw, you know, a great show there. How do you find your singers and dancers? Do you audition and... you know, have like put out the audition like we do with the film, and people audition for you, and then you have callbacks and all that, or did you just kind of know them from being a great pianist and being in the musical circles?
Yeah, a little bit of both, Richard. We've had auditions, but mostly I've just kept my eye peeled. I work with a lot of singers, being a pianist, and when I see a singer that has a big voice but a little body, I go, this is the kind of person I want in my show, because most of the stars back then were pretty small people. And I have to make sure that the costumes are going to work with the people, and they have to be tiny. But I still want that big voice sound. And I've been very lucky to get the people I have, because they love the old films, too, and they're tiny, but they have big voices and a lot of presence on the stage, as you probably noticed.
Oh, yeah, they were all great. So that was something I was wondering, is do you have to literally get someone that fits it? So because these are classic costumes, do you feel like you shouldn't alter them, or do you ever have to alter them for the performer, or do you make sure you have a performer that fits the costume, or how does that work?
I always say I never alter the costume, only the singer.
Mm.
So the singer has to fit, or they don't get to wear the costume. And I have other cast members, other than the ones you saw, that sometimes are of different size that can fit some of the costumes that don't work for the singers I had the night you saw it. That's pretty much how I work it.
This is kind of, I guess, a cleanup question we kind of talked about, but it seems like, would it be safe to say that some of these people exaggerated their connection to Maryland for a career? Like Robert Slatzer, the one book my wife mentioned, has a picture of him on the set of Niagara, and he claims he was married to her, but they burned the certificate, and he perpetuated a lot of the Maryland murder theories. And then I think it was Jeannie Carman that said she was so close to Maryland. I mean, some people have alleged that Robert and her and others may have allegedly exaggerated their closeness to her and made a career out of the fact that they may have had a picture on set. I think in Jeannie Carman's case, I don't even know if there's any pictures of them together, but do you think he could have just taken a picture with her as a fan or quasi, you know, acquaintance, and then they make this whole career and she's not here to refute it?
Well, that's always been the problem, I think, with a lot of dead celebrities. People suddenly come out of the woodwork and make a lot of claims with very little to back it up sometimes. I think in the case of these people, Donald Spoda did quite a bit of research on them to find out if there was any real definitive connection, and was not able to find any. So I would say that, yeah, he's probably did some great research in that regard. It's true of a lot of, I think, Marilyn, particularly as she died and became quite collectible, that suddenly we find a lot of fake stuff and fake people coming out of the woodwork claiming they have things of hers. And one must be really careful about that kind of stuff. I try to research books as best I can that are really high quality and that have really got a lot of good information.
Yeah, I think Spoto is one we've really kind of put on a higher level.
Well, he's highly respected as
such
as
a brilliant man. I mean, I was surprised at just the depth of his life in general, you know, that he taught theology. I don't know if he was a priest at one time, but I think he taught, like, theology on a really high level, and he just has such a broad education and life in so
many
ways.
He's a brilliant man. He's absolutely brilliant. I'm proud to have him as a friend. He's an incredible guy.
Yeah, I've read several of his books. I think he wrote one on Elizabeth Taylor that I read.
Ingrid Bergman, Lala Lenya. He's done almost all the major stars.
And I also read some religious things he wrote, you know, about different saints and things like that. So he's been a very broad person. Yeah, it's amazing to me, just amazing to me how some of these people made a whole career out of it. And I guess that's like a good and a bad to our whole social media thing is, I mean, it's like some people could get away without being checked out too much. It seems like in his case, he got away with that claim in you know, publishing several books and having TV specials and a TV movie based on his book. And it seemed like people are green lighting projects based on his stuff, and he never really seemed to be vetted, you know?
I think a lot of times television goes for what's sensational, and they don't always necessarily double check everything. As long as they think it'll sell, they go for it. And in Marilyn's case, there's been a lot of stuff out there that is less than accurate. So we try to disseminate what the truth is as much as we can in the club and work with people to try to keep it that way. We still are working with people. I worked on a wonderful book by Lois Banner that came out a couple of years ago called Marilyn Monroe, The Passion and the Paradox, and it's a really good book, very accurate book on her life. So if your wife wants
great.
A new book to read on her, I would recommend that one highly. I think she'll find out.
Oh, that's a good one. We'll have to definitely get that book.
Yeah.
Another question coming in. Brooke from Detroit wanted to know, since you're a musician, what your favorite musicals are, musical films.
Oh, dear. There's so many.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. I don't know. I mean, I growing up, my favorite was Sound of Music. It just was...
Mm-hmm.
Caught me. I love Cabaret.
And you have some wardrobe from Julie Andrews too, I read.
I do. I do have several things of Julie's, from Darling Lily and from Star. Yes, I love Julie Andrews, and from her TV show, she's one of my favorites. I just think she's tremendous talent.
So Sound of Music was a favorite growing up, but of course she was great as Mary Poppins.
Yes. I'm curious to see how the new one will compare.
Yeah. We're watching some bits from it, and it looks... I'm sure interested to see it. Dick Van Dyke's redoing his role as the older guy that he did in the original. We're a little concerned about the CG. We're kind of old school, like the Disney supervised the original, and then just that animation and Dick Van Dyke and Julie Andrews dancing with those Disney animation. We're kind of like a little skeptical as you know, being kids with the old school animation that they may not quite capture that magical feel of the original. But I guess we'll have to see in about a month.
I'm gonna reserve judgment until the movie comes out, and I'll see. But I'm gonna miss Julie Andrews. I know that no matter what else.
Yeah. So how about now? What classic musicals? I imagine you Gene Kelly, you have some of his stuff, and of course Singing in the Rain, one of the all-time greats. You have some of his wardrobe too, I was reading.
I do have a Gene Kelly from The Three Musketeers. I don't have it from any musicals, though. I do have a Gene Hagen costume from of course Singing in the Rain.
Oh really? Wow.
I love,
she's the one that had the voice issues, right?
Yeah, she really makes the movie in a way. She's so funny.
Yeah, and it really shows a true issue when you go from silent films to talking films, that some of these beautiful, glamorous actresses, their voices weren't that good.
A lot of stars lost their positions as stars once that happened, because they just didn't have the voice.
Yeah. Now, how did you get these talents? Were you always kind of in an affinity for singing, dancing, music, or did you grow up in a family where there was musicians that you were by osmosis around it and learning it, or was it something you were just drawn to learn as a kid?
Well, my family was musical. My mother and father both sang, and my mother was determined that I would learn to play the piano. So she started me at age 6 with piano lessons, and I never stopped taking. And eventually that's what I ended up doing for a living, and I'm grateful for that. And out of that, of course, I then fell in love with Broadway and musicals and movies and all of that. Though I was growing up in a town of 500 people out in the boondocks in Illinois, but somehow through television and for the movies, I was able to keep up with all of that. And, of course, moving to California helped too, being in Los Angeles and being surrounded by all of this finally.
And are you good a few more minutes, Greg? We have questions coming in, but I don't want to presume on your time here. Okay.
No, I'm delighted. I'm loving it.
Oh, great. Great. Okay.
I do want to say, by the way, your friend in Sacramento, is, I realize I'm doing a show in Modesto.
Oh, are you?
In September 28th.
Oh, that's
at the Gallo
wonderful.
Theater. So
now, that's
if,
September
if they,
of 2019?
Yes. If they're
great. We have a lot of listeners up there, and we also have quite a few relatives. My wife's mother's up there, and sister, and brother-in-law, and nephews and nieces, and all that stuff. So that's good to know. Modesto in September, and that'll eventually be on HollywoodRevisited.com. Do you know the?
It'll be there,
the
but
facility?
They can also go directly to the Gallo Theater website. I believe it's already up there, and they can already get tickets if they want to go.
Oh, okay.
And I'm also, like, I realize, doing it in Palm Springs in February for Modernism Week, the 20th. I'll be there, and that's open to the public as well at the Annenberg Theater.
Oh,
if they would like to come see the show, if they're in the Palm Springs area, please come out. And
that's
get,
not
come,
far. That's not far.
No,
the Gallo Center for the Arts is Gallo, G-A-L-L-O, arts.org.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing that they have a calendar of events and different things up there. So that's great. It looks like they're doing a lot of good shows, including yours.
It's
over
a great
there.
Theater. It's a fabulous theater. I'm anxious to get in there. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, that's great.
As is the Annenberg in Palm Springs, too, for that matter.
Annenberg in Palm Springs.
Hmm.
Kurt writes, you mentioned fakes, fake people, fake memorabilia. And wanted to know how you would discern a fake, like if somebody, he mentioned someone claims they have a letter or a piece of wardrobe or something that they say was from the star.
Well, it's usually the for me, the proving point is a photo of the star with the item.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
That's one of the very best. Also, costumes, you can kind of tell sometimes if they don't look like they're made well or they don't look aged for what they should be. And many times also there should be a production number and name of the star written into the item on a tag from the studio. So there's a lot of ways to go there. There's a lot of people claiming they have Marilyn Monroe items that she gave them or that they got somehow. But I don't trust most of it. There's way too many people making a living off of just picking up stuff from thrift stores and then claiming it's Marilyn's.
Yeah, and there's all these claims of one of my guitar students that brings me in tabloids I mentioned, who incidentally has been a security guard for many years at the Hollywood Museum.
Oh, really?
He,
how fun.
Yeah, small world, but he, you know, one of those actors that just loves classic Hollywood too, and he brought over a tabloid recently of a woman who's dying, and you know, is claiming she was Marilyn's daughter through an affair with a doctor before she was famous, and they covered it up and blah blah blah. So not only the Roberts Slatzer saying that he was her husband, and they conveniently burned the marriage certificate in Mexico, but now there's various people claiming they have items, like you said, or that they're related to her. And hard to vet all this stuff, but that was some great tips you gave there.
Well, I would say save your money for the real deals. There's plenty of those. And good auction houses like Julian's and Profiles are going to take care to make sure that the items are authentic. And generally they come from her estate. There was two major auctions of her estate, and those are the things you can be pretty sure are authentic.
Yeah. Those auction houses, that's a good point, is that they're going to probably vet stuff. There was that one they used to call Butterfields. I think they might have changed to another.
They've changed to Bonhams now. And they're also a very, very honorable company. I would trust them also. The people they have working for them are very, very cautious about taking on anything that might be slightly not real. They're very, very good about that. And sometimes they even call me up and ask me my opinion.
That's great.
To make sure that the items really are the real deal.
That's really cool, and what an honor that they consult with you.
Well,
if you're listening,
I didn't help.
Yeah, we're on with Greg Schreiner, a great show of classic Hollywood, has a great collection of music, and has people perform in these gowns and costumes and wardrobe of the great Hollywood stars and doing their actual numbers as well as an expert on Marilyn. Well, we'll be back in just about 20 seconds with some more questions for Greg Schreiner from HollywoodRevisited.com. And don't forget all those upcoming shows that we mentioned. We'll be right back with Greg in about 20 seconds.
Gee, I don't mean to bother you, Doc, but it's a mystery to me why it took so long to get this show on the air. It certainly ties up all the loose ends with Christian Talk. Gee, my wife just loves this show, Doc.
Well, welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and we're just getting some great feedback from Greg Schreiner on it just addressing how to know some of the things are fake. Well, you stay really busy with the different shows, Greg. Is there anything on your radar you want to get, like stars that you haven't got yet or items you want to get that you haven't got yet?
That's a good question. I really almost have every major star in Hollywood now. So certainly things still come along once in a while that intrigue me, but I'm not as desperate as I was when I first started out to get things because my collection is so huge now that it's pretty much filling up my home.
Wow.
So
I'm less
anxious to get things unless it's something really choice. Because as I said, almost every major star of Hollywood I now own at least one costume of. So I'm very thrilled and pleased to be able to say that, and it's very exciting for me.
Oh, I got to tell you a funny story. You may have heard this line, but since you have some of Bette Davis stuff, her daughter was on the show, Bette Hyman, who's now a minister, and I think it was Virginia, was on the show a while back. And, she was trying to, share her faith and get Bette Davis more into it. And she was saying, Mother, I want to see you get, more into God. And she said that her mom, Bette Davis, said to her, "Darling, God takes orders from me."
Well, no questioning, no doubt, Bette was definitely a strong-willed woman.
Yeah.
And that's why I think she succeeded in Hollywood. She really fought very hard for the roles and was very much that kind of a person. I did a movie called When Bette Met May a couple of years ago, the music for it, and it was actual a tape thing of Bette when she met Mae West, and Bette was a very strong woman, trust me. She held her own.
Yeah, she sure was. It seems to be, a challenge for some of the children sometimes. It's, from having her daughter on, I learned that she supported her daughter in tangible ways sometimes when they needed help, but you got the feeling it was, had been strained. And then Bing Crosby, kids, some of them, wrote these kind of books that didn't paint them in the best light. I guess probably all of us baby boomers, were raised in an age where sometimes maybe felt the parents weren't as nurturing or whatever, but I guess it's compounded when they're a superstar and all that pressure. Any thoughts on just the children or the offspring of some of these celebrities and the dynamics? Of course, Joan Crawford's the classic example where, the daughter made her out to be, Mommy Dearest or whatever. Any thoughts on that kind of a thing, the kids and how they sometimes
have extra pressures to deal with all that they're away a lot from the home because they're making movies and that takes a lot of time away from the house. And maybe having children wasn't their first priority. Maybe being a star was higher up on the list. One doesn't know for sure. Not everybody is that way. Certainly there were a lot of success stories of wonderful parents that were stars, but there were also the other ones too, the Joan Crawford possibly. Though someone I knew who knew Joan pretty well said she was actually a very good mother. So one never knows what's true.
Yeah, I think it's important to take that stuff with a grain of salt too, because a therapist friend of mine was telling me that we all remember things differently, and I mean, I can talk to my brothers about, say, a childhood incident, and five siblings had five different recollections of it, And so a lot of times what we tell ourselves visually, you know, like I had someone, better be careful not mentioning names, but I had someone friend me from way, way back in my school as a kid. And, you know, I remembered that, you know, 7 years old or whatever, thinking this person was this goddess with shimmering light, because I think it was the first, you know, time, oh, I kind of like this, you know, this girl or whatever, and I remembered her looking angelic. It was so amplified in my recall. And then when they sent me a picture, hey, here's the old days when we used to play together, and I, you know, the hair color was the same but looked really pretty nothing like my memory. My memory had made this much more different, you know. So when someone says, oh, I remember this about my mother and my, you know, the way she treated me, if we'd run a videotape of it, you know, she might not be the crazy person with the coat hangers the way the way that Faye Dunaway made it out to be, you know?
Absolutely. Well, again, it's a movie.
Yeah.
It's not real life.
Yeah. Let's see, another question coming in here. Okay. This is Bailey, Montana, and wanted to know any upcoming, if you have any upcoming projects related to Marilyn. I guess such as projects could be just about anything. I didn't know if she meant film projects or documentaries or shows. What we saw you do, which was just an abbreviated version at the award show, you had a dress that was similar to the dress she sang, I think, Happy Birthday to JFK. And so
yes,
it's kind of always a part of your show. But what Marilyn stuff are in the future?
Well, I just finished working on a book with Bose Hadley, who's an author, a book
of Marilyn.
Is
that the one you mentioned earlier?
I don't think I mentioned that book, no.
Okay.
This is Lost Images of Marilyn Monroe that just is coming. It just came out this month, I believe, actually.
Oh, great.
And it's available. And it's quite a lovely book of great images of Marilyn. People might want to check that out. As far as... We always do memorial service every year. I don't have any other pressing documentaries or books at the moment, but you never know. And occasionally I do exhibits with my collection. We did one a couple of years ago in Australia, and I'm hoping to bring one to the new Academy Museum that's opening in Los Angeles.
Oh, great.
So that'll be
now,
something
the
for the
memorial
future.
Service, is that open to the public or is that something?
Absolutely. It's every August 5th at 11 o'clock in the morning, and anyone can come. It's open
August
to anyone.
August 5th, 11 a.m. And is it always at the same place?
It's always at the chapel in Westwood Village Park Mortuary,
which
is where she's buried.
That's wonderful. Well, Sherry's still in my proximity. We'll be there next August 5th for
we
that
would love
memorial
that.
Service for Marilyn.
Please do.
Every August 5th, you do the memorial service. A lot of our Marilyn fans will be really thrilled to hear about this. 11 a.m., August 5th, Westwood Village. Is that the same place where she's buried with Hugh Hefner there?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
yeah,
where it is.
It's so funny. I was just talking to a friend of mine, Sis Rundle, who was like executive secretary to Hefner through the years. And she goes over there 2-3 times a week, and she just sent me a picture before we started the show of, you know, Marilyn, you know, there. And she was just talking about being over there, so that's really cool.
Yeah, and we do it in the chapel where Marilyn's funeral actually was held, so it's kind of
powerful. Wow, in the same chapel where the original was.
To have that ability to do that.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, do you have any closing words for us, Greg? Just anything you want to say or how they can keep up with you or any thoughts on classic Hollywood? There's so much more. Oh, you know what? I'll tell you what. Here I am breaking my word saying closing words, but I just have to ask you, you have some Elizabeth Taylor stuff. My mother and I both huge Elizabeth Taylor fans.
I do. I have Cleopatra and I have Giant, and I also have a TV show she did where she was Luella Parsons. So... those are the costumes I have of Elizabeth Taylor.
You know, Cleopatra, I hear, you know, people just put it down and bankrupted the studio and it was this epic, you know, mess. But I still love it. I love the film. I love
I think it's
beautiful.
It's fun. It's fun film. It's awfully long.
Yeah.
And then they cut it quite a bit from what the original length was even. It was 6 hours originally, and I think it's down to four now. But it's a spectacular movie. She's quite good in it, as is Richard Burton and Roddy McDowall. They're all quite good. And
oh, yeah.
Certainly the costumes and sets are spectacular. There'll probably never be another Cleopatra like it again.
I don't think so.
I think she did a fine job.
You know, speaking of favorite films, I have to say that her and Montgomery Clift in Place in the Sun, she was one of the most beautiful couples on screen in that film with the black and white, something about the black and white photography. And
I think he was so handsome, and she was at the peak of her beauty.
Yeah, exactly. And it, before Montgomery Clift had his accident and everything. And, I don't know, she might have been probably just 17, 18 at that time, but it's just one of those films that just takes me in a whole new place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just I get so engrossed in that film. Classic Hollywood, thank you for keeping it alive, Greg Schreiner.
I love it. I love doing it, and I love sharing it with an audience, and I think the audience loves reverting back to that era again. It was a great era indeed.
Well, thank you so much. And just in closing, anything you want to share with our audience or how to keep up with you? Or
Again, through the website you mentioned, HollywoodRevisited.com is for my costume show, and then MarilynRemembered.com is for the club. Anyone can join. It's no charge at all. Just go online and sign up. It takes about 30 seconds, and then you will receive all the information about the club. So I hope we'll see some of your listeners at some of our shows coming up.
Yeah.
That would be great. And tell them to make sure they say hello.
Oh, I sure will. I can't recommend Greg Schreiner's show high enough. My wife and I, we felt it was such a great experience that I want to have Greg on the show. I just love this guy. I love his show. So thanks again for joining us, Greg.
My pleasure. Anytime, Richard. It was a delight.
Okay. Blessings to you and all. We look forward to seeing you in one of the upcoming shows.
Okay.
And thank you,
good.
everybody for listening. And to Rich Rossi Live, be blessed, each and every one of you, in this Thanksgiving time. We have so much to be grateful for. Take a moment and write five things you're grateful for. It'll be good for your soul. And thanks for tuning in to Richard Rossi Live. I'll be back with you next time.